Let me try that one more time. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Awesome. It's great to see you today. It's an interesting day at the mill. I was very thankful this morning when I walked in the front door, and I was greeted with a tremendous blast of hot air. We got a notification from the mill last week that the boiler went down, and they wanted to make sure that we had heat for today. And so they said, just make sure you don't like touch the stuff and everything. And so I unlocked the door, and when Mike and I got here to start setting up this morning, we opened the door, and it was like, it was like, welcome to a kiln. If you need any firewood that you need dried, after we close it up today, go ahead and just bring it over. We'll leave it down there, and it'll probably be dried by about 8 p.m. tonight. So, but I was very thankful because we could have walked in, and it could have been very cold. But I was very thankful that we had heat. So before I get into today's message, I want to ask, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, way back in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and while you're turning there, I'd like to take just a few moments, with this being Thanksgiving week, which is absolutely and completely and utterly impossible, it seems, that Thanksgiving is just a few days away. I remember this summer thinking, man, I feel like I'm going to blink, and before you know it, it's going to be Christmas, and it's going to be Christmas before we know it, but not before we get to Thanksgiving. So while you're turning there, I'd like to take a few moments and ask, who has God done something for this year that you would like to share with us that you're thankful for? Maybe there's a situation, maybe God's done something in your heart, your home, so on and so forth, that you'd like to stand up and be loud and proud, share what God's done in your life. Let me go ahead and start with James. I saw you go first, and then Marquise will come over your way.
I'll step out so I can be seen. Well, Pastor, I'm thankful that there was no heat in the building this morning. Because it's a little bit of a story, but I thought I need to share it because somebody I think needs to hear this here. It's about how God provides even a small little thing. Well, because there was so much heat in the building, they opened up some windows. And while we were practicing, somebody outside heard some music. And he came up the stairs, and he sat down here and joined us. And his name is, not to give his name, same as mine, James. Well, he came here this morning. Now, this goes back to this morning when I went into my kitchen, I went to show yesterday that I had taken two jackets and put them aside to take to church with me this morning to donate to somebody in need this morning. Well, so these two jackets were the first thing that got into my truck this morning beside my guitar, which is kind of, using my guitar trumps everything, but anyways, the jackets made it first. So James came in here and he shared this. I went over to him and I shared with him. I said, do you have a jacket? And his response to me was, no, he doesn't have a jacket. So that jacket arrived in my coat, the jacket arrived in my truck this morning for James. So James's coat went to James this morning, a divine appointment. The second jacket is my wife's jacket name. My wife's name is Stephanie. During the first service, a person I know very well named Stephanie walked in and sat there in the back row. I walked up to her and said, do you have a jacket? She goes, no, I do not have a jacket. So Stephanie's coat went to Stephanie's. So it's not by chance. It's not by coincidence that we're here in a divine appointment this morning. God is in control.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for no heat being in the building. The windows open. And his praises were heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he answered that by clothing our brothers and sisters.
Woo!
Amen.
That's awesome. Woo!
Since I've came here, I've been here for how long? 5 weeks. I came here with $50 in my pocket, and I was living at the Carey House. A situation happened at the Carey House where I was wronged, and when some good, not even friends, family members, Jason and Stacy, took me in, and just by the grace of God, us working all together and just like praising God and just praising Him in advance. Like, I came from being homeless 5 weeks ago to being in my own apartment in my as of this month. Because when you keep God in the mix of your hard times and your good times, He will always prevail over anything that you go through. Amen?
Amen.
And I just thank God that I can share this whole experience because I came here on a Saturday. I moved here on a Saturday, came to church that first Sunday, and been continuously coming, and we have been just, the Spirit has been growing here. Like, we're all, like, I just love y'all. I just want y'all to know that, like, I really feel so comfortable here, and, like, it's so, it's home. And it's rare to find that nowadays. Woo! And it's just a blessing. So, that's my testimony.
One of our sons OD'd about 4 years ago, and his heart stopped. Almost 4 years free of drugs and alcohol.
Amen. Amen. One more. We got time for one more. Yes.
So I said you about 3 weeks ago. I absolutely love it. I feel so comfortable here, like you said. Feels like home and very comfortable. My story goes back to when I was younger and I got diagnosed with Lyme disease. And I needed, like, I did a little bit of the doctor's side, I was in that. So I all I could do was find something that was bigger than myself in the relationship with God. So that's what I did. None of my family members really, they believe in God, they don't go to church, they don't believe in the Bible, they don't have that connection. But my mom sees that connection for me, and she's going around about a year ago, she had a really bad accident, and she was also almost died, but she's doing better now, and the next phase of the surgery just come through, and I went from taking 30 pills a day with my Lyme disease to taking like 5, and I don't take any antibiotics anymore.
Wow.
I lost like 80 pounds since I went up antibiotics. It was a long journey. It's been 13 years since I was diagnosed, 13, 14 years. And I'm driving now. No one ever thought I would ever drive. I get my driver's license, and I got my driver's license in August. Yeah. And I feel so much more comfortable. I'm doing what I'm passionate about. I'm in social work, and I'm doing what I love, and I really enjoy my life, and I'm so thankful to him each and every day.
Woo! Amen. We serve a good God, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, keep your finger there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As I was preparing for the message this week, began thinking about Thanksgiving and what God is doing in our lives and just all the things that we have to be thankful for. Not just for the things, but for who God is. I'm thankful that Jesus saved us. I'm thankful that He sets us free and continues to set us free. I'm thankful for the step. I'm glad I've got a car. I'm glad we've got heat. I'm glad I've got good kids. I'm glad I've got a wonderful wife. But I'm thankful for who Jesus is to us. And I began thinking, I thought, Lord, where do you want to go on Sunday? And as I begin thinking about Thanksgiving, the best way to live is living with a heart that says, God, I want to just be thankful. Because we live in a world that feels very entitled. That I've got this, but I could always use more. And so as I was reading and praying this week, I came across this article. And the title of the article grabbed me. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It is a little bit of a lengthy read. But the title of the article is called Materialism and Discontent in a Prosperous America. Is this the Founding Father's Dream? And I saw that and I thought, well, that looks interesting. I think I'm going to read this. And so it's written by a gentleman, his name is Joshua Charles, he's a prominent Christian author, and he makes some really poignant observations about the current state of American culture. So I'd like to read some excerpts from the article. He writes and says, I believe we live in one of the absolute best times to be alive, and too many of us don't even know it. Speaking materially, regular people in America have their struggles, no doubt. We aren't a utopia, but we are the wealthiest and the most well-off we have ever been. The income of the average American has risen drastically in real terms in the last 40 years. The average American home is 1,000 square feet bigger than it used to be 4 years ago, despite the fact that our families are smaller. The average American diet is 500 more calories per person than it was 40 years ago. The average American turned a wheel multiple times to call someone 40 years ago. How many remember turning a wheel to make a phone call. I remember my grandma had a little black one, and it was... Now we have smartphones that give us virtually access to virtually any media, information, or any person in the world, and it fits in the palm of our hand. Life expectancy has gone up over a decade in the last 40 years, and emissions have plummeted in the last 40 years. And yet, look how dissatisfied everyone is. Have we ever seen more people so entirely accustomed to complaining and making excuses for everything under the sun? Have we ever been this utterly spoiled before? Has this abundance induced thankfulness on our part? Has it induced awe and wonder at our utterly fantastic situation and an appreciation for how rare it is, even compared to the rest of the world today, let alone 40 years ago? Does the average American, let alone perhaps the slightly poorer American, realize that they have a more materially comfort life than even the czars of Russia just 100 years ago? The answer to all the above is no. We have not a clue how good we have it. And Americans, who represent the proverbial 1% of the world, have almost certainly forgotten the wisdom from Benjamin Franklin, who said, "To be content, look backward on those who possess less than yourself, not forward on those who possess more." If this does not make you content, you don't deserve to be happy. Pretty wise words spoken by a founding father of our nation. This, in my opinion, is why we are where we are right now. An age that is experiencing a level of prosperity and material well-being never before seen in world history, and yet so rife with envy, greed, entitlement, and narcissism. We are a people of full bellies and empty hearts. We have neglected the weightier matters of the law. We have sown the wind and are reaping the whirlwind. Our own success, listen to this, our own success is undermining us and sapping our strength. I read this article probably about a half a dozen times, and I felt like this guy wrote this thing for Tim Versalona. I found myself thinking, Lord, I am so very thankful for your many blessings in my life. But how much more thankful could I be? I'm so thankful that even though it felt like 110 degrees in the mill this morning when I walked in the door and had to open his windows so people wouldn't fall asleep while I preached a message, it could have been cold. Lord, how thankful could I be? So, how do we make Thanksgiving happen in our lives? I know I've put a little spin on Thanksgiving. I know many of us are going to come to the table on Thursday and we're going to share memories. We're going to be listing things that we're thankful for. I know one thing that we've done many years with our family, and I'll tell you, we're going to have a house full on Thursday, which I'm thrilled about. Our girls are coming home, and I'm excited. It's going to be absolute madness at the Versalono house, but it's going to be wonderful. One thing that we've always done as a family, we've always gone around and say, would you share something that you're thankful
for? Well, today we are concluding our message.
And we've done this since the kids were little, because I want my kids to know how much God has done for our family and how blessed we are that we can come and assemble in a rented space and not have to worry about whether we're going to live or die after we leave because somebody's gunning for Christians. We are a blessed people. Amen? So, how do we make Thanksgiving a lifestyle of happy of thanks happen in our lives? I've got three basic points for you today. Number one, are you ready for this? This is profound and it's deep and insightful. This is going to rock your socks off. Give thanks. You like that? Give thanks. Say that with me. Say, give thanks.
Give thanks.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, notice that it's written, it says, in everything. It doesn't just say, okay, when things are good and life is happening and there's more money than month at the end of the month and all the bills are paid and the kids are all doing great and everybody's serving Jesus, give thanks. That's not what it says, does it? It says in everything. When things don't quite go the way that you think they should go. When the person cuts you off on the road. Give thanks. Well, you don't know. Maybe they cut you off because you were maybe going a little too fast. And the Lord knew that something might happen down the road that you would be involved in. And maybe your life just got spared. I don't know. The Lord knows. But the word is very clear. It says, in everything. Every say, say so. They say everything.
Everything.
How much does that leave out?
Nothing.
At least nothing out, right? In everything, give thanks. Why? Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to be thankful people.
Amen.
Now, this is interesting. Look at this. As I was researching this, I never saw this before. The word give thanks, or thanksgiving, right here, literally translated, is the word, the Greek word, eucharistite. What does that sound like to you?
Eucharist.
When we come to the Lord's table, in our tradition here, we do it once a month. The Bible says as often as you do. You can take communion every day if you wanted to. We just happen to do it once a month. But the point is, whenever we come to the table of the Lord, the Word says, we remember. We are thankful. It's not that we just drink the cup and we eat the cracker and we go, yeah, there's one for God. But we're thankful for what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we're thankful that we have new life because He rose from the grave for us.
Yes.
We have victory in Jesus' name. That's good news.
Yeah.
Let me try that one more time. That's good news.
Yeah.
All right, there we are. Just want to make sure we're all awake. Nobody's falling asleep with the heat yet. I saw a couple windows getting shut. And I thought, whoa, hang on. Maybe we need to be a little chilly. Talk a little faster. Let me get out of here. See, the Bible tells us giving thanks is God's will for our lives. Giving thanks, it's God's will for our lives. Now, this is interesting. Philippians 4, 11, and 12, and verse 13 we'll talk about in a few minutes. We looked at it a few weeks ago. The Apostle Paul is saying, he says, I know how to abound, I know how to not abound. He's saying, I know how to have a lot of money in the bank, I know how to be broke. I know what it feels like to be full, I know what it feels like to be hungry. I know what it feels like to be blessed, I know what it feels like to not be blessed. And then he says in Philippians 4:13, he says, and through all things, because all of that, because I have learned what it's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a big statement. That's a big deal. And see, verses 11 and 12, that is the point that Paul is trying to make. He said, you might have seasons where you have an abundance. You might have seasons where you're going, oh God, there is not enough money to satisfy paying all my bills. I've got two kids in college and a kid who plays hockey. Oh, Lord. Help me, Jesus. But through it all, I can say, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm thankful that God said, guess what, son? I've given you a brand new day to live for me. Have you ever had those mornings where you wake up and before your feet even hit the ground, you go, oh, Lord, it's another day. I've had mornings like that. I've had days like that when I think, okay, I've got this going on, that going on, this is happening, that's happening, and oh, God, give me strength for another day. And guess what? The Lord gives strength for another day. The Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. God, thank you that you've given me another day to live for you. You've given me another day full of opportunity. I don't know what the day holds, but you do. I might have a perception of what the day is going to look like, but the Lord knows what it's going to hold. And in that, Lord, teach me to be thankful that you've given me a day to live for you. Help me to maximize it so you get the glory. Number one, give thanks. Number two, understand. Pretty profound, huh? Understand. Let's talk about that. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 20. Go and turn there with me, please. I'll have it up on the screen also. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 20. Say this. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. Everybody say understand.
Understand.
But understand what the will of the Lord is, giving thanks always for all things. There it is again. To God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's interesting here because the Bible in this translation, it says, don't be unwise. In other translations, it says, don't be foolish. I kind of like the one that says, don't be foolish, because the word tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I can tell you, who doesn't want to be a fool? This guy. Because the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And the Bible says right here, don't be unwise, don't be foolish, but understand, know what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Giving thanks for all things. Understand. So that means I've got to apply myself to understand. How many, as you were learning things in school, or even growing in life, there's things that we just don't understand, right? Situations that we may walk through, trials that we may face. I remember when I was in high school, one of my required classes was geometry. I'll just tell you right now, I'm good with addition, multiplication, subtraction, and division. But when you start telling me A times B equals C, I go, huh, what? That's like saying, if there's 50 pancakes on the roof and a train is going 50 miles an hour from New York to Los Angeles, how many bottles of syrup will it take to cover the railroad tracks? I don't know. 1 + 1 = 2, for crying out loud. Leave me alone. There's things that I just don't understand that we learn. And the Bible tells us to not be unwise, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. To understand why God wants me to be thankful. Because everything that I have, God has blessed me with. The wife that I have, God blessed me with. The kids that I have, God blessed me with. When God said, move from Southern California and get ready to have a cold winter, God blessed me with. Woo! That's right. Can I just tell you this? Last week when it snowed, okay, here we go. Can I just give you a window into my world? So, JJ's been decorating at the house for Christmas already, and we're a little bit late because normally when Halloween rolls around, we just pull it all out because Christmas is way too short when it comes to Barcelona's. We're like, Christmas? When? Where? Go now! And so we pull it all out on Halloween. This year we were a little behind because, you know, two of the kids are away at school, and so we couldn't wait anymore. So the other day, JJ is decorating down in the basement, and I'm upstairs, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing flurries on the little forecast on my phone, and I'm going, oh, I wonder if it's really going to snow this time. Because, you know, you see it, and then it goes away, and then it rains, and you're kind of like, okay, well, whatever. So the other morning, I'm upstairs in the bedroom, and JJ is down in the basement, and here's me. JJ! Look out the window! And she goes, okay, a little forewarning would be good next time, you just scared me. It's snowing, and so we're just kind of like, it's snowing, it's snowing, it's snowing. So we were a little excited to see the snow, and then it all melted the next day and a half later, and it was like, okay, well, that was short-lived. But then it occurred to me that we're going to have all winter with it, so I'm not complaining. But see, the word tells us to understand. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And what is His will? Give thanks. Say it with me. Say, give thanks.
Give thanks.
In all things.
In all things.
God says, be thankful in everything that you're facing. How do we do that? Only through God. Because there's some things that I walk through that I'm not very thankful for, frankly. Right? I got passed up for a promotion one time. Do you think I was thankful? Heck no. I was upset. God, how did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Your word says that I'm blessed, and how did I get passed up for that promotion, God? Well, looking back, I was like, Lord, thank you. You passed me up for that promotion because I needed to be passed up for that promotion because there was some stuff that I needed to learn that I thought I had figured out that I obviously didn't know. See, God says, give thanks always for all things. Because God doesn't want us to be foolish. He doesn't want us to be unwise. See, James chapter 1, verse 5 says this. If you need wisdom, I love the way the New Living Translation says this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He might give it to you. I heard somebody say no. You didn't? Can you disagree? Okay, good call. This is what it really says. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. If you need wisdom, My hand is up every moment of every day because I need wisdom all the time. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. And now watch this. It gets better. He will not rebuke you for asking. God's not going to look at you and say, okay, Bob, you prayed for wisdom with this and you asked me 3 days ago, so why are you asking me again, Bob? Come on. Come on, Cassoni, get it right. You asked me 3 days ago. You're really asking me? You're asking me again? Okay, fine. That's not how the Lord works. But see, oftentimes we have this feeling that if we ask God again, that we don't have enough faith for something. Can I just tell you something? If you feel like you don't have enough faith, what do you say? God, help me have more faith. Help me have more faith in you, because God is always able to superabound. We talked about that a few weeks ago, right? In Romans. God wants to superabound in our lives. And God says that if you lack wisdom, if you need it, ask God who wants to give it to you. He wants to go, you need wisdom? Here you go. It's like the Gatorade bucket. Are you thirsty? Here. There's wisdom. Now, here's a tip of helpful advice. And I had a pastor share this with me when I was in my 20s. I was a young youth pastor. And I was walking through a situation and I needed God's wisdom. And my pastor prayed for me and he said, now Tim, you need to remember this. You just prayed and asked God to give you wisdom. Don't walk away and when somebody says, what are you going to do about this? Or when you're thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. Don't negate it because you just prayed. You just said, God, give me wisdom. He says, so when you answer or you respond, you reply, that's the wisdom of God that He just gave you. How, no matter how uncertain you are that you may be. And I said, that makes sense. Because how many times does God tell us to do something or tell us to go a particular way or say a certain thing, or we have a sensing inside of us and it doesn't make sense to our natural mind and we make the choice to still say, God, I'm going to step out in obedience to you, and we look back and go, oh, wow, I'm glad I made that decision. It's because you ask God to give you wisdom. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. See, God says if you lack it, He will give it because He wants us to understand that when we say, God, help us, then on the flip side, we go, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me that wisdom. Thank you for walking with me. Thank you for helping me understand. See, the will of God that's talked about in this passage here, the will of God is not a demand. God is not saying, be thankful. Don't you see how much I blessed you with? Be thankful. It's not a command. God is not staring down His nose and pointing a finger at us and saying, if you're not thankful, so help me. God. That's not how our God works, is it? See, what this is talking about, He's not demanding us to be thankful, but it is an expression or inclination of pleasure towards that which is liked. Can I just tell you something? God doesn't just love you, God likes you. Some of you might be going, really? Yes! Why do you think He sent His Son Jesus to do what Jesus did for us? He did it because He thinks you're the best thing ever. I don't feel like the best thing ever. Well, then maybe we need to shift what our opinion is of ourselves, because God thinks you're pretty neat. Look at this. Tell the person next to you, you're neat.
You're neat. You're neat.
God thinks you're awesome. See, it's an expression or inclination of pleasure towards that which is liked. Can I tell you something? When my kids do a good job with something, can I tell you this? When I see them do a great job, they get a good report, they have a teacher calls and says, such and such did a great job with this, the first thing that I tell them is, I am so proud of you. Great job. Why? Because I like my kids. I want them to succeed. I want them to excel. I want them to go farther than I ever have dreamed of going. And that's what God says for us. God says, I want to open the windows of heaven and bless you. See, it creates pleasure and it creates joy in the heart of God. And if it creates pleasure and joy in the heart of God, then it should have a similar response in me. Right? I know when I was, remember my geometry class I was talking about? My first report card? first D I ever got on a report card. And my parents, even though they were disappointed, they still loved me. They still liked me. They took pleasure in the fact that when I came home with something higher than a D, it was good. But my report card that year, my sophomore year in high school, I had straight D's in geometry. I worked my tail off for those D's. Somehow I still made National Honor Society when I graduated as a senior. I couldn't believe it. I thought, even with straight D's, man, I wonder how much less I could have done in class and still, no. Just kidding. Don't do that. Do good at school, kids. Okay, there we go. See, it creates pleasure and joy. See, this is God's gracious disposition towards us. His disposition towards us is grace. Why? Because he just loves us. And he wants us to understand that when we are thankful, it flies in the face of entitlement. It flies in the face of the world that says, this is good, but if you only had more. This is great, but if you only had more. This is okay, but if you only had more. You know what? Sometimes I think we just need to go, God, thank you for what I've got. Like Benjamin Franklin said, look back and go, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much, because I want to be happy. I want to be filled with joy. Number three. This one's going to be really heavy. Do all things through Christ's strength. Do all things through Christ's strength. That one's pretty intense. Do all things through Christ's strength. Philippians 4:13, we read a few minutes ago. I can do all things. How many things?
All.
Through who?
Christ.
Through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I don't know about you guys. I mean, let me talk to the men for a minute, because I know women, you're not wired like this at all. But I know, me being a guy, if I see something broke, you know what I want to do?
Fix it.
I want to fix it. I want to get out my hammer and my nails. I want to get my saw. I want to do something. I want to fix it. And see, the Bible says that I need to do all things through Christ's strength. Let me tell you a restaurant story. I shared this with First Service. It was kind of funny. It was kind of scary also, because my heart almost skipped a beat, because I went right back to being really busy. Oftentimes in the afternoon, when I was managing in the restaurant, we would send a lot of our kitchen staff home to try to save on our labor. Being a restaurant manager, like a manager of any other business, requires you need to know what's happening in multiple cost centers of the business. Right? Are you with me so far? So I'm watching labor, I'm watching supplies, I'm watching food costs, I'm watching the flow of people coming in. And so in the afternoon, typically Monday through like Wednesday, we would cut everybody out of the kitchen and we would just go to work in the kitchen, us managers, to try to save our labor. And so this one particular day, I could do between 3 and 4 tickets on each side of the kitchen. No problem. Once I got to 5 tickets, I started to get a little bit nervous, because I could do okay, but when it came time to drop the buns, drop the meat, put the sauce on the patty, go to make the salad on this side, turn and drop the fish, make sure my French fries are hot, come back over here, and I hear the ticket thing going again. And I'm going, oh my gosh, because that little sound was the sound of the ticket ripping and another one being printed. So I'd get to about 5 or 6 deep, and me, being the awesome guy that I am, I want to prove that I got this. And being the man that I am, I got this. And I pray, there are times I'd be saying, Lord, thank you, I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to knock this food out. I'm going to sell it all. It's going to be hot. And people are going to say, I've never had a burger that good. And I'm going to go, I made that burger through Christ's strength, who strengthens me. And I would be watching the clock as I'd hear the printer continuing to roll, and I'd put another ticket up, and another ticket up, and I'd go to this side, and put a ticket up, and put a ticket up, and I'd be watching the clock thinking, when is my next team member coming in? I am in the weeds! And when my team member would come in, I would go, clock in, wash your hands, get back here and help me! See, as much as I'd like to think I got this, there's some stuff I just don't got. Pardon my horrible grammar. As much as there's things in life that I think I got, there's things that I have no grasp on. And the Word tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I don't want to do all things through Tim, because my strength is nothing. Forget it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We looked at this the past week or so. What is our strength? Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There were times that that printer would just go and go and go on a Friday night and an all-day Saturday. There would be times I just wanted to say, "Dear God, make it stop already!" Because I'm going to die back here. And I would have to laugh out loud and people would say, "Oh, is he really losing his marbles over there?" And under my breath, I'd be saying, "Lord, will you just help me?" And I'd be praying in tongues so people wouldn't think I was crazy. Just kind of under my breath. And I'd be just making and prepping and making and prepping and selling food and making and prepping and directing people and making and prepping and selling stuff. And I would say, "Thank you, Lord. Your joy is my strength. And at some point, this is going to be over tonight. And I'm going to get to go home and be in my bed with my wife." But the fact of the matter, the Bible says, do all things through Christ's strength, whether you're in the weeds of life or whether you're not. See, when you do things through Christ's strength, you won't experience a depletion of joy. When you do stuff in your strength, you can get depleted a lot. How many know what I'm talking about? But when you do stuff in Christ's strength, because why? We're doing the stuff that Jesus wants us to do. We're living the life that He wants us to live. We're expressing that thanks and praise to the one who is our source of strength. And when you do things through the strength of Jesus Christ, there won't be a depletion of joy. Your tank won't go down. It'll stay continually full. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and His strength is made complete or perfected in our weakness. See, think about this for just a second. The Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Have you ever thought it interesting that the second fruit of the Spirit is joy right after love? I think the Lord is saying there needs to be a release of joy, not just in the church, but in the world. We've got what the world needs, amen? See, doing all things through Christ's strength is a big concept to grasp. Jason, go ahead and come on up. Help me close this out just a minute here. This is a really big concept to grasp. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of big concepts to grasp. Isn't it? Here's one for you. You ready for this? Don't worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, how can you tell me not to worry when there's so many things to worry about? Right? I wish I didn't worry as much as I do. Sometimes it doesn't seem on the outside like I'm worrying about much, but there's a lot that I worry about. And I say, "Jesus, help me not to worry, because your Bible tells me not to be anxious about anything." It means don't worry. And it's more than Bobby McFerrin singing "Don't Worry, Be Happy" and whistling a happy tune. As much as I like the song, Jesus says don't worry. Because He can just figure it all out just like that. Here's another big concept. Be holy. That's a big one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord says, "Be holy because I'm holy." Boy, I have no hope of doing that whatsoever. But only by His strength. Here's another one. Mark 11, 22 says, "Have faith." Sometimes having faith can be a hard thing. Right? When you get passed up, when something happens, when you get a diagnosis that you don't understand, when you get that curveball and you keep swinging a miss, swinging a miss, swinging a miss. "God, help me out here. Have faith. God, help my unbelief. Help me have faith in you." Here's another one. This one's probably one of the most painful ones. Galatians chapter 5, 24 says to crucify your flesh. That's pretty tough living in a materialistic world. When the latest, greatest, biggest, baddest, most awesome thing just came out and you just want it because it's 80 inches. And it'll help you watch that game better. Or if God says, "Don't click that. Don't look at that. Don't drink that. Don't put that in your mouth. Don't smoke that. Don't." And you say, "But God, I want to." And the word says, "Crucify your flesh." Because the next verse says, another big concept, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. But in order to walk in the Spirit, as much as I'd like to, then I've got to do some things that Jesus asks of me to do. I need to be thankful. I might need to say, "You know what, Lord, it would be really cool to have this really awesome, cool thing. But you know what, if you don't want me to have it, then so be it. I don't want it. I want you. I need you. Jesus, help me to be more thankful for the things that I've got. Because I really don't want to keep up with the Joneses. I want to keep up with Jesus. That's enough. Keeping up with Him. Because I want to be like Him. Can we take a moment, close our eyes and bow our heads? Lord, we are so so thankful that You are in our lives. I want to say thank You, God, for sending Jesus for me, for us. Thank You that You came to show us a new and living way, a better way of living. It's Your way of living. It's full. It's abundant. There's turns and corners and twists, things that we don't understand that happen sometimes. But Lord, You're Lord of it all. And we want to do what Your word says. In everything, give thanks. Lord, help us to be thankful for the twists. Help us to be thankful for the turns. Help us to be thankful because, Lord, we don't know oftentimes what the end result is, but You do. And we just want more of You in our lives. And like You shared with us earlier, Lord, as You want to shine Your face on us with Your glory, we know it's so that our faces will shine to the people that You've called us to reach at home, at work, at school, around town, wherever we're at. While our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I want to just ask this question. You may be here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never invited Him in. You've never said, you know, I want to ask Jesus in. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I need this life You're talking about, Pastor. Would you raise your hand right now and say, yes, that's me. I don't want to leave the same way that I came in. I need Jesus to change me. Thank You. Let me ask this second question. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. And yeah, I've been thankful, but I feel like I just slip so easily. And I complain, and it just seems like life overwhelms me sometimes. And I just need the Holy Spirit to help me be more thankful, because I just want to be more thankful. I want to be thankful in everything, like we looked at today. If that's you, and you say, yeah, that's me, I just need the Holy Spirit to help me be more thankful, slip your hand up today. I want to take a minute and pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know this is a broad paintbrush today. Hands going up all over the room. Thank you, Jesus. We put those hands down. Church, would you do this? Would you stand with me this morning? We're about to conclude in just a few moments. But I don't want us to leave until we have a minute to pray together. I just want to ask, maybe you didn't raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, that's fine. I just want to ask, could we just pray this prayer together? Just repeat this after me. Father God, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I give You my life. Jesus, I need You. I turn to You today. I give You all of me. All my past. All my sin. All my shortcomings. All my successes. All my victories. I give it all to You today. I invite You in, Jesus. I receive Your forgiveness, Your new life in me. And I thank You, Jesus, that You are now alive in me. Holy Spirit, will You fill me afresh and anew? Will You breathe in me? I give You my complaints, my issues, my problems, the dilemmas, everything. And I want to be more thankful. Help me to not complain, but help me to rejoice in You, the One who has blessed me with everything I have. So Holy Spirit, fill me, overflow me. Help me to see every day, everything You're doing in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just take a moment and would you just begin to just thank the Lord for his work in your heart right now? Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to verbally, just to begin to verbalize it. I want you to hear yourself thank the Lord. Just begin to speak your thanks to him. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my friends. And thank you for salvation. Thank you for freedom and victory and deliverance from sin. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you want to bless us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, church, I just want to ask, we're about to do a closing benediction. Would you stretch his hand, just your hands this way, and just receive this blessing today? Now, Lord, I thank you. Lord, as we have been thanking you in this week of Thanksgiving, God, I pray that this would not be the week that we focus on giving thanks. But God, I thank you for the seed that you're planting in our lives for us to live a life that is filled with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanksgiving and thanksgiving. Jesus, I thank you that as we go from this place, I thank you that the windows of heaven would be opened over every man, over every woman, over every household, every young man and young woman in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you say that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I declare you are blessed and not cursed. And whatever you set your hands to prospers in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone who agrees and receives, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's been a good day to be in God's house. God bless you. Next Sunday, we are beginning our Advent series, Unbelievable But True, God with Us. And so we're excited. All the stuff that Sherry mentioned, we've got signups at the table for December 3rd.